Craig Murray's on the call. Thank you for coming on, Craig. Sorry it's a bit late. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad at all.
How's the health? Because I think you said something good about that.
It's been rather anxious time for me, but I had a lot of tests at the hospital here this week, and I've got the all clear. I can go back to resuming normal activity again, and everything looks good for the future. So I'm very, very pleased.
Well, brilliant. Thank you for that to hear. It's good to hear that. We need you very much. And this bill, look how many hearts you got there, man. Crazy. But, this bill that we've got going through Parliament, I've just looked at it. You had a blog on your excellent blog there, Craig Murray's blog. You've got to look for it. And this was the link to the government website, National Security State Threats Bill. Long title, The Bill to Make Provision for the Designation of Bodies Involved in Foreign Power Threat Activity to Create Offences Relating to Bodies Designated Under This Act and for Connected Purposes. And David Miller mentioned it was rushed through a bit, and I couldn't believe this. I looked at the timetable, first reading of it, 9th of June, so less than a month ago. It's gone through three readings in just over a week, and then House of Lords, it's been through there, and then it's on the consideration of Lords amendments tomorrow, on Monday the 6th of July. Does that mean that that legislation will be law tomorrow?
This will be law certainly this month, and potentially they have to get Buckingham Palace to sign off on it once it's through. But it definitely this, but before the end of this month, and possibly within a week, it's going to be the law.
That's is that really weird, the timing on that?
Oh yeah, if you look, I mean, they went through two Commons readings and amendments in the Commons in one day, with no debate at all, really. And it's being absolutely forced through as emergency legislation, which is complete nonsense, and it's terrifying legislation. It really is. It takes the powers of the Terrorism Act, those powers which are being used to arrest people for holding placards. It extends those to support for states which they designate as enemy, or for organs of states that they designate the enemy as enemy. And one of the means of supporting, one of the things which is made specifically illegal, is to obtain information from those states, whether the information is true or not. It's nothing to do with truth or misinformation. Information is defined as being a material benefit in the act. And so if, for example, you learn from the Iranians that 180 children were killed when a school was bombed, and the Iranians tell you that, it's illegal. It's illegal to receive the information with up to 14 years in jail, even if you don't publish it. Getting the information from the Iranians in the first place will be illegal. So this actually goes even further than the Terrorism Act. They've extended all the offences under the Terrorism Act to states rather than just prescribed organisations. And then they've added this extra one. So I think it's quite likely that things like Hamas and Hezbollah, which are already designated under the Terrorist Act, will be designated as state organs as well under this act in order to extend the getting information from them crime.
So this state's designated. I don't get it. So it's not a prescribed organization, or I don't. I don't. There's no. It's not official. So how do people know which one to avoid talking about? It's a bit difficult to know, isn't it?
Well, it's I'm as I say, the Russian and Iran are named in the act, but also there will be other ones. And then it's organs of that state which will be named. So it's the Revolutionary Guards in Iran. But you'll also find, almost certainly, it'll be the Ministry of Information, for example, or the Foreign Ministry, or other basically any organ of the state they can designate and name. And then if you get information from that organ, you'll be committing a crime. So this is, this is basically designed to prevents any information that counters the official narrative on what's happening. So casualty figures in war, as I say, bombing of hospitals, stuff about human rights in the country, or all kinds of things which are not the narrative. You know, it's going to become illegal to get true information about what's happening in Ukraine, for example, that isn't the Ukrainian government propaganda side. That's why this is all being rushed through. And there doesn't have to be any intent to support. Just obtaining the information itself will be the crime. And there's no public interest defense, there's no journalism defense, and it's no defense if the information is true. In fact, it's probably more of a crime if the information is true.
So we'll just be getting IDF casualty figures and stuff like that from Gaza, as an example, or Lebanon. We won't know anything about what's happening there. It will just be what Israel says is happening.
That's the whole purpose of that's the entire purpose of the legislation, which is very scary. And it actually, funnily enough, coincides with new legislation put through by the European Union. There was a judgment in the European Court of Justice yesterday, which was very important, which enforced this, which said that if you repost anything from a banned organization, that's a criminal offence in the a banned media organisation. That is a criminal offence in the European Union. So if you repost anything at all from Russia Today, for example, if you're on Twitter and you see a clip of something on Russia Today, someone saying something, you think that's good, and you repost it, that will be that is now already a criminal offence in the European Union, and you're likely to have a European arrest warrant out for you for repeating anything from Russia Today. That was in the European Court of Justice on Friday, I think.
I can't believe that all of the media isn't going crazy about this law. I mean, not the mainstream, but even the alternative media is not really making a big fuss of it. There's no protest. I mean, the speed of it is so scary how quickly they can get this stuff through. I mean, we're all looking at Starmer and Burnham while they're coming in with something horrific.
Yeah, well, it's all this war propaganda. You know, it's part of the we are at war, Russia is the enemy, Iran is the enemy. We don't actually have any money at all to do anything about crumbling hospitals or schools, but we're now going to find billions and billions more to build more weapons and pilotless drones for killing people and all. We're stuck in this appalling xenophobic narrative. And so you've got the two things. You've got an extraordinary aggression and hostility in foreign policy, designating enemy states, calling Israel, which is an ally and obviously being complicit in the genocide. And then to enforce that, you've got this authoritarian clamp down on dissent at home, which arguably actually even goes beyond normal wartime measures. It's not just this is unprecedented in peacetime. It's very hard to even think of legislation in wartime, which made the receiving of information illegal with no intent to use it to help the enemy or whatever. So this is really extreme. It really is extreme.
There is some hope, though, that we're hoping that you can sort it out in Scotland with this challenge to the prescription of Palestine action. What's happening with that?
Well, we're back in court again, challenging the decision to defer to the English Court of Appeal, in fact, saying that that's illegal in Scots law, and that the in particular, both Yvette Cooper in doing a prescription and Lady Carr in the Court of Appeal judgment both quoted at length from the sheriff summing up in the Fales case. That's one of the three cases which they base their assessment that Palestine Action is a terrorism organisation on. is a terrorist organisation on. And that's a Scottish case. You know, that happened in Glasgow, and it's a Scottish sheriff they're quoting in the English Court of Appeal. So we're going back saying, you can't do this. You know, this is a matter of Scots law, and the Scots courts have to look at it. So we're going back with that. And that if we manage to get back into court, because we haven't, all these procedural devices to stall us and stop us and hold us up. And of course, each time it's incredibly costly. And we haven't yet managed to actually get the proper judicial review in Scotland underway where we can actually make the arguments. And when we make the arguments, we're not going to do it in a lawyerly way. We can do it through lawyers, but we're going to really go for it. And we're going to say that for the English Court of Appeal to say that the Home Secretary must be given latitude on matters of national security, this is nonsense, that you shouldn't be treating the Home Secretary as this infallible, impartial person when she's a paid agent of the Zionist lobby and has received over £200,000 in cash for them. We want to actually stand up and say those things in court, you know, and really, really give it to them to talk about the genocide big time and what's going on, and to attack the evidence basis of the ban, because the Court of Appeal was still talking about this escalating pattern of violence by Palestine Action, and that was based on the charges in the Filton of aggravated burglary and violent disorder, on which all the charges were returned as not guilty. So they've just ignored the actual verdicts of the jury and are pretending that all the things they claimed happened when the jury found they didn't happen. So we're going to really go for it, basically, if we can get the judicial review back into court. That there have been so many dirty tricks. I can't go through it all, to take ages, but there have been so many dirty tricks to postpone, stall, stop, introduce secret evidence. I don't know what the chances are, because, as you know, I don't actually believe in the independence of the judiciary. I think it's a complete myth, and the establishment is deeply, deeply corrupt. So what our chances are of success, I don't know. But we have to keep fighting, because what else can we do?
Yeah, and it reminds me of what you did with the Assange case. You kept going there, and eventually it worked out in some way, didn't it? So if we keep going, I mean, you don't give up then. Your tenacity is admirable.